From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Today we get the backstory from the co-founders of the Stoop Storytelling Series, live performances in which ordinary people in Baltimore tell true stories from their lives.
One of the real powers of the Stoop is the ability to combine the new and surprising with the familiar.
What makes for a good story? What makes for a good storyteller? Plus, we'll hear from comedian Paula Poundstone about her new book and what running for class president in the sixth grade taught her about politics. It's on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning. Welcome to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for joining us. The Stoop Storytelling Series is about to start its 11th season. The Stoop is a live show based in Baltimore that features ordinary people telling true stories from their lives. Each show has a theme. Past themes include cool, cruel high school, love hurts, and parenthood. We're talking today with the co-founders of the Stoop Storytelling Series, Jessica Henkin and Laura Wexler. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you. It's
Thanks
good to be here.
Thanks for having us, Sheila.
I want to start playing a clip from a story from last season. Unlike most Stoop storytellers, this person is a well-known public figure. Baltimore City Health Commissioner Dr. Lena Wen took part in a show on the theme The Stoop Turns 10 last February. Here's part of her story, edited slightly for brevity.
3 days ago, I talked to Laura Wexler, and I asked her a question. I asked her, can I have a podium here tonight? You see, I have notes, and I wrote out my speech. There was this long silence. Clearly, I didn't understand what Stoop Stories was about. The problem is that I did. You see, I'm used to writing out everything. That's because I'm a person who stutters. Part of how I deal with stuttering is to script everything out. So I have some notes. I'll try not to use them. This is hard for me, but I hope you'll bear with me. Growing up, stuttering is what I thought about all the time. My stutter was often so bad that I couldn't get out any words at all. There was a class where I had to talk about the Roman Empire, but I felt myself stuttering on the word Roman, and so I stabbed myself in the leg with a pencil just so that I could get sent to the nurse's office. And that piece of pencil lead is still on my thigh today. Now, I couldn't get rid of my stuttering, so I tried to hide it. Now, I knew, just like many people who stutter, we know which words will trip us up. And so I figured out ways to avoid it. I never ate sandwiches because I couldn't say the word to order it. And I always did everything I could not to introduce myself because my name, Lena, wasn't something that I could easily substitute. Over time, I became so good at hiding that people rarely heard me stutter, but they also rarely heard me speak. And I lived in fear that someday I'd be found out.
A powerful Stoop story from Baltimore City Health Commissioner Dr. Lena Wen. Later in the story, she said it was only the second time she had ever talked about her stutter in public. Jessica Henkin, how do you bring that vulnerability? How do you bring that out in your storytellers?
Well, what we do is just encourage them to tell their own true personal story. So we encourage our storytellers to not memorize the story, to not bring notes, to be very present with the audience during the event. And I think that leads to an authenticity, which then leads to the feeling from the storyteller, on the storyteller's part, that the audience is there to support them and that they are engaging in something with the audience. And so I think it allows them to feel like they can take more of an emotional risk and be their real self in that moment.
Laura Wexler, have you ever had someone who just couldn't take the risk?
I think it's really scary for a lot of people. I mean, it's hard enough to be yourself and be honest and emotionally present with, like, your family members or your friends,
for sure.
Right? So
yeah.
Imagine doing it with 750 people. But I think what Jessica said is absolutely true, that the audience wants that and is hungry for that and supportive of that. And so that helps a ton.
Is there a message, a line, a sentence that you have seen open that space up for your storytellers? Is there something that you know, if I say this, they are likely to get it?
I think when you say don't try to be perfect, I think that is a huge thing, because we know that for most people, public speaking is like second only to death, and maybe more people would prefer death actually than to, you know, to be a public speaker. So it's scary. So if you say right away, I'm taking away one thing, don't try to be perfect. So you sort of remove that. And I think then they really know what it is, you know?
Has the Stoop changed how you see Baltimore?
Oh, absolutely. It has allowed me to just fall very deeply in love with Baltimore. We have tried really, really hard to get diverse interpretations of each theme for each show. So we feel incredibly proud of what we put on every time, and we feel like it represents, the storytellers represent the city and what it's about. We have a lot of characters, and the voices that we've been able to feature that are so Baltimore, all of that together has, it's really allowed me to fall deeply in love with this city.
Laura, are you running out of storytellers?
No. I mean, there's many, many more. I mean, our motto is everyone has a story. And so we truly want everyone to feel like they could be on the stage, and that there's a very permeable line, right, between the teller and the listener, because you could be a listener one time and a teller the next time. And we're constantly trying to reach out, particularly to people who don't think of themselves as having a story that people would want to hear. Those are the people we most want to reach.
Well, what does make a story that people want to hear?
I think it goes back to that core value of the emotion, because every story is different. Every personal story is different. My story is different than your story, of course. The facts are different. The context is different. So every story is surprising and new. But every story is also familiar, because they're all human stories, right? And so it's the emotions that we relate to in a story. That's the emotions that are familiar to us. And so one of the real powers of the Stoop is the ability to combine the new and surprising with the familiar. And I think that is part of what people are coming back for. I also think that that's become part of our mission, that we want to use this tool, this you know, true personal storytelling. It's a genre, but it's also a tool. And we think it's a tool that can create empathy between groups of people who are not naturally inclined, say, to view themselves as similar. A true personal story can honestly, forgive the cliche, let you walk in someone else's shoes. And so we're going to be doing that this spring with a show featuring stories about the relationships and tension between the police and the community. We hear about the trust gap. We hear that people don't understand what it's like to be the other. Telling and listening to true personal stories is one way to help with that.
And I think, you know, the other thing that we provide that is a gift to the city, we allow someone to have an audience that is such a kind, intelligent, supportive audience. We allow a person to stand in front of them and feel that warmth and support and be heard the entire time. So there's no risk of being interrupted. There's no risk of someone saying, like, we don't like what you have to say. They have this set amount of time that we've essentially gifted to them to say, like, everyone here is rooting for you. Everyone here wants to hear the truth about what you're saying. Everyone here wants to get a sense of what that felt like at the time.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm speaking with the co-founders of the Stoop Storytelling Series, Jessica Henkin, and Laura Wexler. Are there certain types of people, Laura, who are better storytellers? I mean, are extroverts better at it?
No. No, actually, someone asked me that the other day, and I think it's a terrific question. I don't think you know whether someone's going to be quote-unquote good in this venue until they do it, because many extroverts are very comfortable with a persona. They're very great speakers, say, but they're not going to risk being vulnerable and emotionally present. They want to be more in control. And so actually, often it's the shyer people, the people who don't seem to be naturals for the limelight, who really can take this risk. I mean, I do storytelling workshops for many organizations and businesses and educational institutions now, and it's been really fascinating to me to see that oftentimes people in positions of power and authority have real trouble or are real hesitant. They need a lot of support and convincing to do this because the way they've gotten power, the way they've gotten authoritative, is to sublimate the personal and to not be vulnerable, right? We know that. I mean, I think that's particularly true for women.
You mentioned doing workshops. Is storytelling and listening, sharing stories, something that businesses and corporations are using as a workforce building tool?
Absolutely. I think there's a real recognition that stories have a power to connect emotionally with people. And it is through that emotional connection that people are spurred to take action, make decisions, send money, support an institution. Stories are universal. And so they are a very efficient, economical way for an institution or a business or a campaign to communicate its mission.
Jessica Henkin, has your sense of the mission of Stoop Storytelling changed over the 10 and a half years?
At this point, we know what we're doing. We're pretty good at this. We know the city really well. We feel really comfortable here. So I think that our lens right now is like, okay, what next? How do we continue to evolve this thing that we've grown together in a way that supports the city that we love?
Well, the near term of what's next is a new season that's starting. Tell us about that.
Well, so our first show is October 10th at the Senator Theater, and we thought that a fun theme would be Fight Club, which, you know, in keeping with the campaign season, we thought it would be something that people would respond to right now.
So Fight Club means what?
Means stories about conflicts or skirmishes or confrontations. So it's everything from a personal feud to an activist fighting for a cause. Since we moved to the Senator last year, we've actually had some fun thinking about pairing movies with the shows because we've got this beautiful screen, you know.
So the movie follows
the
storytelling.
Right. So this Christmas, you know, we're going to show Die Hard. Which is
it's a holiday movie of a sort.
And we're going to have stories that are about, you know, let's be honest, the holidays are really hard for some people. And actually going to a place where you can admit that and hear about other people struggling through the holidays, I think there is some real comfort in that. So we're embracing the diehardness of the holiday and doing that.
Huh.
And then we're doing a show in February. This is a show we've talked about for a while, but we've sort of been tiptoeing around. But we're doing the Stoop Sex Show.
Mm-hmm. The Stoop Sex Show.
Yes, it'll be classy, though.
That sounds X-rated.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Maybe.
It's going to be tricky curation. But again, like, every sex is universal. Like, we all have a story about sex. So we think we're going to get stories that are really the range, you know, and
that's our job, right? So our job is to not make it be lowbrow and uncomfortable, or, you know, maybe a little bit. But yeah, we try to be as diverse as possible in how we have people interpret the theme. So,
and then our last show is The Outsiders, stories about being a freak, geek, or other.
How do you find the storytellers? You just laid out, you know, some wonderful themes. How do you populate those?
So each year about this time, we announce all the themes for the year. And we announce them to our email list. we get a lot of story ideas come in that way, right? So people read the email and say, oh, I have a story on this.
So they send you a few paragraphs?
Yes. We're very clear. We say, send us three sentences. Tell us the beginning, middle, and end of your story. So again, we're signaling from the start, this is a story. It's not a TED Talk. It's
do not write a speech.
Don't write a speech. Oh, my gosh. We have gotten so adamant about do not write out. Do not show up to our coaching session with papers. Yeah. We will, like, rip them up.
We do not want a 9-page write-up of the story that you're about to.
An oral story is not a written story. It's a different genre. So we do that. But then if we only did that, we would get a limited kind of diversity of stories. So the other thing we're doing all the time is always keeping, like, an ear peeled for people who seem like good storytellers and ideas for themes and reaching out. So, for example, I did this workshop at Shock Trauma, and it was with all men, and they were all men who had been victims of violence, had come through Shock Trauma, and I was working with them to tell their stories. And every single one of those guys has a Fight Club story. I mean, when I say to them, like, oh, why do you guys have so many stories about fighting? They're like, because we're dudes and we grew up in Baltimore. So we have a guy who's going to tell a story about one fight in particular that severely, severely wounded him. But it is a single story. It is a single person's story. But it opens a window into a culture, into what it's like to grow up as a man in Baltimore in a neighborhood like his, and why violence might be something you inherit or something, you know, something that seems like a necessity. So, you know, he's not on our email list. He's someone that I've, you know, reached out. And Jessica, in her work at the school system, is always meeting interesting people. So even though we're dear friends, we have different spheres, so we're able to pull people in. And I'm in journalism, so we're just, like, sort of used to collecting people and collecting story ideas.
And then we'll kind of bounce thoughts off of each other. And so for this upcoming show, Fight Club, you know, Laura's like, oh, I would think a Civil War reenactor would be good. And, you know, and I was very adamant, like, I want someone who's, like, fighting a civil rights kind of fight, but maybe not so clear, you know, something about environmental activism, you know, that kind of thing. So we have this kind of vague idea, and then we start to do research, and we know a lot of people, and Facebook and social media are good platforms, and then we always get a little bit lucky. We have great shows.
Yeah,
if someone listening right now thinks they have a story that fits the bill of one of these themes, what should they do?
They should just email us at info@stoopstorytelling.com. If they go to stoopstorytelling.com, they'll see all the themes. But they can email us at info@stoopstorytelling.com, give us three sentences, and we'll take it from there. It's really simple.
Thanks to Laura Wexler and Jessica Henkin, co-founders of the Stoop Storytelling Series. Glad you joined me in the studio today. The 11th season of the series opens October 10th at the Senator Theater in Baltimore. This weekend, the Stoop will host a special show at the Baltimore Book Festival featuring local writers. Jessica Henkin and Laura Wexler also do a weekly podcast featuring Stoop stories. We'll have information about all of this at our webpage at WYPR.org. A quick break now, and when we come back, we'll hear from comedian Paula Poundstone. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Right back.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Emmy Award-winning stand-up comedian Paula Poundstone will cruise through Maryland on her current stand-up tour. She's due in Frederick Saturday evening at the Weinberg Center for the Arts, and she joins us by phone now. Paula Poundstone, welcome to On the Record.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So this is public radio. Our listeners probably know you best from your appearances on the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me quiz show. Are you a news junkie naturally, or do you just follow the news so you will be brilliant on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me?
My knowledge of the news is directly, oppositely proportional to the level of drama in my own home. You know, the more drama going on in my house, the less I can pay attention to what's going on in the outside world. I try to watch the news well enough to cast a halfway decent vote and have some sense of the world outside of my own life. But, you know, there are times.
When there's just too much to focus on close at home.
Yeah, there are times where my world gets a little small.
Well, this presidential campaign, is it particularly good fodder for a comedy?
I guess it is, but I think every comic would be more than willing to make up jokes on a wide variety of topics. I saw yesterday on, I think it was the CNN website, said that Trump had suggested or requested a debate without a moderator. And I thought, well, okay, yeah, but who's bringing the mud? And are they both going to wear bathing suits or just one? You know, when I was in the sixth grade, I ran for class president. And then the difficult thing about sixth grade politics is that really there were no issues. But so when we each had to make our speeches, I certainly was guilty of this, and some of the other students as well, which is that we said that we would get the school a soda machine. And so the teacher talked to us later, and she said, you know, you can't say that because you guys actually can't get the school a soda machine. This was an important lesson for sixth grade politics, but apparently that doesn't apply to adult politics.
Well, let me ask you about the other candidate, Hillary Clinton. She has a rigorous schedule. She travels a lot. Those both apply to you also. Hillary Clinton just had a bout of pneumonia. Have you ever gotten so sick you couldn't perform?
I don't work a fraction as much as either of these candidates. I got to say, I mean, there's a certain they shoot horses, don't they, quality about campaigning now. You know,
oh, it's an endurance test. Sure.
It is, and it's an unrealistic endurance test, because once you're in office, you know, you can play golf occasionally or play a game of basketball or, you know, go to some more relaxing place. And by the way, it's the right thing to do. I'm surprised that they both haven't been hauled away on a gurney a long time ago. Personally, Hillary talks about the deplorable basket. I think, like most voters right now, I am in the I am sick of the campaign basket.
I noticed you tweeted around the time of the news about Wells Fargo employees having set up accounts without the permission of the customers whose money they were putting in them. You tweeted, I'm hoping Wells Fargo is secretly saving money for me in my secret account.
Isn't that a crazy story? I mean, that's just crazy. I don't know anything about banking. I don't even have a savings account because I don't know my mom's maiden name. And apparently that is key to the entire thing.
You have a book coming out next year. About what?
I do.
About what?
It's called The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness. Each chapter is written as a science experiment. I do a series of experiments in things that I or someone else thought would make me happy. But it's not just the experiment. It's also, well, how then when I return to my real life, does that hold up? Does it make you happy or was it just fun in the moment? And there is a difference between the two. It's a funny book. It's number one job. It's to be funny. But it is also against the backdrop of these experiments, I tell the story of raising my children.
So should bookstores file it under humor or under philosophy?
Well, under humor. But, you know, the great thing about humor is that in humor there is much philosophy.
If you hadn't been a comedian, what would you have done?
Well, I used to bus tables. And perhaps due to OCD, I am an incredible table busser. When I left this one restaurant that I worked at, they had to hire two people. I have a gift for table busing. You know, if you own a restaurant, what you want to do is go to your local therapist and find out what night is the obsessive compulsive disorder support group, and go there with a stack of applications because, my gosh, we're good table bussers.
You will be performing in Frederick this weekend, as I said, but you live in California. You tour all over the country. Are East Coast audiences and West Coast audiences different?
No, I don't think so. We're all so jumbled up. You know, we're almost nomadic. To find somebody who's actually from the place that you're in originally, usually their ear has already been tagged by some sort of, scientist, and they've been re-released into the wild. Yeah, we all are exposed to the same media. And by the way, people need to keep this in mind in terms of the fractious relationship between the parties and the like. The truth is, and I find this night after night after night, we all have far more in common than we have differences. You know, it's fun to get together and laugh about the slings and arrows of life.
I really appreciate your spending this time with us. Thank you.
Sure, it was nice talking with you. Thank you.
Comedian Paula Poundstone will perform at the Weinberg Center for the Arts in Frederick Saturday at 8 p.m. We have a link to her tour dates at the On the Record page on WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow. We'll talk to Van Mitchell, Secretary of the Maryland Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, about getting mental health care to jail detainees who need it.